What is the importance of pre-kindergarten education, and who is responsible for funding it? And then, as a follow-up question, please address how the state can ensure as many children as possible have access to pre-kindergarten education. And we'll start with Mr. Christ Tompkins.
Pre-K is hugely important, and there are countless studies that show, I mean, you can take a four-year-old, a five-year-old, and through, I mean, a simple test, predict whether they're going to be divorced, end up in jail, what their salary is going to be, what their level of education is going to be. And so these are hugely formative years where, I mean, if you can create a supportive, warm, nurturing environment, it's a long-term investment in every child. And it's, of course, much more economical, you could say, to educate a child than to incarcerate an adult. And fundamentally, I think that's a relationship the state should bear in mind when it comes to education and early childhood education, that we should make an early investment so we avoid paying bigger costs to society or even just out of our state budget later on. And I think that the paradigm has to change in Alaska and in the country, really, that we owe it to families and to children that pre-K education is necessary and important, and that's a paradigm that I don't think exists right now, but should very much be the case. And I think if we can do that, the long-term rewards to Alaska and to the U.S. as well, I mean, programs like Head Start, will very much be in the positive. And it's hard because, I mean, this is an investment you make and you don't see the return for 10, 20 years. But that return is there and it's documented, and I couldn't think there's a more important investment for Alaska to make.
Senator Kukesh?
Thank you. For those of you who don't know, the state has only done pilot programs in Head Start. Pilot programs only. Most of the Head Start programs in Alaska are run by tribes and run and funded by the federal government. And I think that the state has to quit doing pilot programs and fund Head Start programs in Alaska. I'm going to give you an example, and I live in Angoon, I have most of my life. We didn't have a Head Start program for years. And by the time our kids started first grade, or even kindergarten, they were already behind. I have a daughter who graduated from University of Washington, University of Alaska, with her teaching certificate about 4 years ago. And she didn't want to go into the public school system. She wanted to do Head Start. So she went to Clinkett and Haida, and we got a Head Start program in Angoon. We started off with 11 students. We're up to 17 this year. And we noticed a huge difference in our school. The kids from Head Start came down to the first grade and kindergarten, and they could do the alphabet. They could write their name. They're not starting behind anymore, and that's huge. And when you multiply that throughout Alaska, and you have, for example, those schools in rural Alaska who have the chance to have a Head Start program, and they have kids now going to the first grade and kindergarten with the ability to do the alphabet, to read, to write their name, to know what kind of different writing areas there are in the school system, it's huge. And I think that you're going to see a huge difference in at least those people in rural Alaska who have Head Start program, or those people in, like, for example, Angoon that have Head Start program. Huge difference in students coming out of those schools. And I think that Alaska needs to look at this very seriously and not think of it only as a pilot program anymore, but something that could make a huge difference in the graduation rate of the high school kids when they finish the 12th grade. Now, if you look at the numbers now, I think you'd be really disappointed in the students who get a diploma and a student who gets a certificate of attendance. And I'm not happy with that. I don't like that number. The way you change that 12 years later is to have a Head Start program. And I'm very supportive of that. I love the idea of the Head Start program. It works for me.
Representative Thomas.
Thank you. I support these programs. But let me tell you what, I asked my wife what she thought of them. And she says, sometime or another, the child should bond with their mother. You know, so she shouldn't let them go off at 3 or 4 years old. We have best beginnings, parents as teachers now. I worked with Representative Chris Tuck with Parents as Teachers, which is a big program in some of rural villages. That's into law. We funded, I believe it was $1.3 million, and the governor vetoed some of the money, but it's The bill's still there. Some of it's funded. It will go forward with that. But I believe, you know, if we're going to do education, we should probably do it all. But just also back up, one of my first years in finance, Head Start was looking for funding. And those who were involved with Head Start said, we don't have the money to put into it. I was able to convince Representative Meyer at the time, who's now in the Senate, to use the parents who come in and volunteer as a way of match money at the local level. If a parent goes in there for 4 hours and they get credit for that, so it's a local match, but find ways to fund it and help them. Now, I believe, looking at our test scores, I noticed you didn't have any questions in there. We rate number, 50 in fourth grade reading in the nation. Maybe it's 48. If this will help, then great. You know, let's do all we can earlier. So Senator Kukesh was saying, let's get them in there, teach them how to read. They shouldn't be failing by the fourth grade reading scores. So, and we're not talking about a lot of money anyway for pre-K statewide or any of those programs. Not when you look at other programs we fund and other departments. So I think early investment, great. Maybe our graduation rate will go up instead of going down. You know, we're down to 68% graduation rate. We have a 20% dropout rate before they even get the count done for schools. And people wonder where their money's at. Well, maybe you got to find a way to keep the kids in school, get them interested. There's always those first initial teachers that, you know, make them excited to go to school. I see kids bopping around, all ready to go to school. You know, I used to be like that. I still, you know, look forward to going to work every day. But, you know, fishing, whatever. But I think it's the teacher that makes the child, and you have good preschool teachers and volunteers there. It'll work. I think, we should fund the whole thing. Well, if we're going to do education, because if not, they end up going to jail at the end. They're saying it's bad. It's sad and bad. So let's educate them and put the money in there. And again, it's not a lot of money. We're not talking about, you know, million or mega millions. So,
all right, moving on to follow-up comments, Mr. Christ Tompkins. All right, we will move on to the next question then. Do you think that public school teachers are paid enough? Please explain your answer. Starting with Senator Kukesh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you. My wife's a school teacher in a public school system. I don't know how much money she makes. She never tells me. But I think that you may laugh a little bit about it, but I don't think it's a legislator's job to know how much teachers make. I think there's a process in place already. I don't know how much teachers make in the state. I know how much we give them through the base student allocation, and I'm sure that I know the teacher salaries come out of that. I would be hard-pressed to say that I know how much teachers make in the state. And I don't know if it's any of my business. I think they have a negotiating process through the unions with the school district. The school boards eventually approve that contract one way or the other, and nobody ever asked the legislature for their advice on salaries for school teachers. So I guess my answer is I don't know whether they should increase it or decrease it, because I'm not privy to those negotiations and I don't know what they make. I think I have a pretty good idea, but I don't know. Unless it'd be amazing to me if anybody else in the legislature could stand up and say the teachers in Anchorage make more than the teachers in Tuntutuliak. And there's probably a difference in teacher salaries in those two places, I'm sure, but I wouldn't know what they would be. I think it comes down to really, again, whether there's enough in the student-based allocation to fund those negotiated contracts, but I think the negotiated contracts shouldn't be left up to the legislature, otherwise we'd know exactly what they're making.
All right, Representative Thomas.
Thank you. For my time on the school board, I just remembered tiered steps. So the new teachers got less than teachers with master's degrees. And, you know, I can tell you what we use as a state average, but it's 63,000. We use them loaded. We use 100,000. So, and that's just very broad. Like Senator Kukesh says, we don't know what they make, but I can tell you the school districts that sit in front of us, that's their numbers. They use an average of 100,000 from Fairbanks, Mattoon, there's probably a couple other school districts. But they just say that's an average, and I can't tell you what one teacher makes to the next. But that's, again, an average, and whether they're underpaid, and you know, that's, again, depends on where you live. You know, if you live wherever you go to. I know that I worked for the North Slope Borough for 8 or 9 years, and their salary for teachers is a lot higher than people working here in Haines, because the goal for some people used to either go spend 3 years in rural Alaska to get your top 3 years, whatever they're paying, either at the end of your career or at the start, and they work on their retirement. So, but to tell you what teachers make in this room, I couldn't tell you.
All right, Mr. Christ Tompkins.
There's a public charter school in New York City right now where teachers are paid $120,000 a year. And that charter school, every student receives the same slump sum of money from the state of New York as every other public school in New York. And so the idea behind that charter school is that there's a astronomically lopsided teacher to administrator ratio. Class sizes are much larger. But the idea is, if you're paying every teacher $120,000 a year, you're going to attract top caliber talent. You're going to have the Los Angeles Lakers of a teaching staff, like a dream team. And the results have been really telling. In that school, student test scores have skyrocketed. Student success is really high. Parents want to get their students into that school. And I think that's telling, and that teachers are the most important part of a school. And if they aren't being properly paid, that school is not going to perform as well as it otherwise could. And in Alaska, especially as funny and as flat, teacher salaries are accordingly not going to increase with the cost of living here. That is, there are going to be effective salary cuts. And, I mean, I think that that's the story of the school in New York is something worth considering. And that is, I mean, as I said earlier, I think we want to make the teaching profession here in Alaska, where, I mean, on the same level as becoming a lawyer like Senator Kukesh or a doctor. I mean, it's an incredibly important profession. And if we as a society do not treat teachers that way, I think that's a mistake. That's a mistake in the long term for each of our communities. And in Alaska, we're not paying teachers what we should, because we're not funding schools and education how we should. And I think that's got to change.
All right. Once again, moving on to follow-up comments, if the senator has anything to say. Okay. Representative Thomas? Mr. Craig Tompkins. All right. Moving right along then. The next question is, what do you think of No Child Left Behind? Please explain. We'll start with Representative Thomas.
One of the worst programs ever brought here, because it doesn't fit Alaska. This is it's not a cookie-cutter area in Alaska, so I don't like it, and there's nothing I can do about it but complain, and maybe they'll change it. Maybe the next, Congress will listen to us. But I know we've been complaining about it, and it doesn't seem to do any good. So I just flat don't like it, and hopefully we can make change. But we can't change it at the state level. It's a federal program. So.
Mr. Chris Tompkins.
I've heard No Child Left Behind referred to as every school district left behind, which I think is an accurate description, and that it's a federal mandate, it's unfunded, and it's unrealistic, especially in Alaska. And there's a teacher in Hoonah, a fantastic teacher. I have many peers from high school who are in places right now they would not otherwise be, and they would say this if it weren't for him while they were students in the Hoonah School District. And he taught German, music, physics, and any other subject that they needed taught in Hoonah High School. And when No Child Left Behind came around, he wasn't highly qualified, which of course is language within the law. It requires every educator to be highly qualified in his or her subject. And so he had to jump through countless hoops to be able to continue doing what he had done for decades, and that's wrong. And Representative Thomas is right. It's a federal law, so there's a limited amount what we can do at a state level. But there are things we can do, and one is we can make an unholy ruckus why it is bad for Alaska, and that's exactly what we should be doing. And secondly, we can seek waivers from No Child Left Behind, and that's exactly what happened this year. The state sought and received a waiver from the Department of Education at the federal level for requirements from No Child Left Behind. I think that happened in June of this year, and we should do so in the future. And No Child Left Behind is in its death throes, you might say, and that there's going to be a new federal Elementary and Secondary Education Act, which is the government lingo for education bill coming through Congress, and that will likely happen in the next few years. And so I think if Alaska can hold out for another year or two longer, seek waivers, whatever stopgap measures are required, we can hopefully have more sensible federal education policy that can help schools do in Alaska what they need to do. And No Child Left Behind certainly is not helping the cause right now, and we should do everything we can to let school districts have the latitude that they need to be able to provide an education here in Alaska.
Senator Kukesh.
Thank you. I don't think I have anything more to say than the two gentlemen before me have said. It's a federal program. I don't like it. I've talked to Senator Murkowski and Senator Begich about it. They are both trying to do their best to change it or to get rid of it. It's an attempt by the federal government to have the same standards across America for all the schools, and it just didn't work for us. I'm sure it didn't work for other areas in the United States either. There are provisions in there that just are crazy that we think it could fit into Alaska, and we know they're not working. I saw a cartoon on this once a couple years back when it first got started, and it was a cartoon of a federal bureaucrat, to be kind, where he's standing there and he's saying, "I'm from the federal government, I have permission to leave your child behind." By that same token, it's on the opposite spectrum. That's what they're doing to us now, is they're saying, "We don't want to leave your child behind," but in fact they are. Unfunded mandate, absolutely it's an unfunded mandate. And I always try to remind people the only unfunded mandate that ever worked was when Jesus said to go forth and multiply. And this one doesn't work. It doesn't work. And they give us these directions, they give us these standards, but they don't give us any money to implement them. And I think that even if we had money to implement them, they wouldn't work. So my advice and working with Senator Begich and Senator Murkowski is to continue to try to get rid of it, or to change it to a point where it makes some sense to Alaska.
All right. Do any of the candidates have any follow-up comments on that? The next question is, what skills and knowledge do you believe high school graduates should have in the state? And we'll start with Mr. Christ Tompkins.
I think the state of Alaska owes every student and child in Alaska a broad-based education, a holistic education, something that makes an education that has every student excited to go to school. And I can say that for me, that was indeed the case in Sitka. And I think actually this debate right here is an example of what a broad-based education, a meaningful education is. And that is not just the basics, not just math, arithmetic, writing, reading, but also drama, debate, and music, and sports. And these are the extracurriculars, the programs that I think vest students in their own education. And everybody, I think, supports these. It's like saying puppies are cute. Who doesn't think puppies are cute? Everybody thinks that sports and music and shop class are great for schools. It's a question of how do we make that a reality? And these things cost money, and it's a question of priorities. And like most things in government, it all comes back to money. And what are the priorities in the state of Alaska right now? Do we want to keep education funding flat, which means that across the board, schools throughout Southeast Alaska are cutting the music program? Cake Alaska, after decades of a music program, no longer has one. And you knock on doors there and talk with parents, and they rue this. They're sad that their children no longer have the education that they used to. And to do so, I mean, we have to not just talk the talk, but walk the walk and invest in education. And so, whether it's music, which is something that really affected my years in high school and middle school, or drama debate, which I think is important for our moderators. Forgive me if I'm speaking for you. Or for all of you, I'm sure there was some aspect of school that was rich, invested you in your education. That's important. It's a priority. It costs money, and we need to make that investment.
Senator Kukesh.
I want every child in the state to be able to get a diploma so they could go to college, to a trade school, or even into the military. But we're not doing that. And I think that in order to get to that point of having these young people, men and women, have a high school diploma, you have to get rid of the exit exam. And I've always been an advocate of that. And I like the exit exam to be in place for measurement only, to measure how your students are doing. Let me tell you what happens, and most of you don't see this. I represented 126 villages last year, most of them in rural Alaska, 96 of them Alaska Native villages. I've seen students march through graduation and receive a certificate of attendance. Largely, I thought, not their fault. When you go to school in rural Alaska and you have one teacher in the whole high school and one teacher in the whole grade school, how do you expect them to pass an exit exam? That kids from East High School who could go to four or five different foreign language classes, who could have music, who could have all the science they want, they have all of the upper math classes they want, and then you expect this child from rural Alaska to pass the same exit exam? I mean, one of the questions on exit exam I saw last year, and this is interesting, listen to this. One of the questions on the exit exam for rural Alaskans, and they were taking the same exit exam as everybody else, is how does your grandmother, if she gets hurt, go to the hospital? You all know it says it's ambulance. You know what the rural Alaskan students answered? Airplane. It was wrong. But in their life, in their vision, in their lifestyle, it was correct. There's a huge difference there. So when I say I want our students to have a diploma so they could have life after high school, that's important to me. When you give somebody a certificate of attendance, you essentially end their life. They can't go to college. They can't go to trade school. They can't go into the military with a certificate of attendance. So I really think we have to revisit the entrance exam for one, and two, determine that we're going to work hard enough in our school systems to make sure that our children can go on and their life doesn't end after high school. And I'm not an educator, so I don't know how we're going to get there. But if I'm in a legislature, I'll certainly do everything I can to make sure there's enough money to do it, for educators to tell us how to do that job.
All right. Representative Thomas.
Thank you. I always thought that education should be defined statewide. When you went to high school, everybody had the same classes. I mean, you know, Albert is right. You know, you go to Anchorage and they have many, many different types of classes for you to go forward and achieve and go on to college. And here we are struggling just to meet the basic needs. I think everybody should have the basic needs and then go from there. I mean, you know, the next question we got is on the performance scholarship, is how can we compete with Anchorage when they have four or five foreign language teachers, and maybe we have to, in some of our villages, have to take it over on TV or watch it in distant learning. But the skills, I think we should provide the necessary skills for them to achieve their education, graduate, go forward. But I'm not going to tell them that you have to take so many years of math, English, science, because I've seen people, I can look in the audience here and see spouses who have been very successful by going through the T&I courses that we had out here. You know, there's some of our better our construction companies here now. You know, so I'm not going to say you have to take these classes, you have to do such and such. When I was growing up, you know, heaven forbid, I didn't even know about Vietnam because I lived in Haines. But I took boys cooking, I took everything preparing me for life, bookkeeping, you know, because I want to make sure they say, oh, most people can't balance a checkbook. Well, I could when I got out of high school. And then, you know, it's a meeting. You know, nobody said, here's what you got to do when you grow up. Well, I knew that someday I'm going to have to cook my own meal. Someday I knew I'm going to do my own checkbook. So I just figured out what I needed to do. And I took shop so I can build a house if I had to. But I'm not going to tell you that you got to take these courses because you might have different skills. I had a brother that couldn't achieve in regular classes, but he was one hell of a mechanic. You know, and he learned at home, and you know, they've got some great mechanics coming out of here, welders, you name it. And so kids and children, they have their different ideas. I don't know how many, I'm looking at fishermen out here. Nobody told me that you're going to grow up to be a fisherman. I mean, when I was, that was a way of life for us, I'm sure, was, you know, everybody's going to grow up to be a fisherman. But you can't tell them that you're going to get up, get all these classes, then, you know, I look at some of the kids that have been graduating. They're fishermen now coming out of Haines. We have 65 fishermen, I believe, here. And then the ones that want to go on to school can. And as long as we provide them the basic needs that they need, and even those who have the other classes to achieve even higher, we should do that. But I'm nowhere at a disadvantage compared to urban schools when they can go out there and go to college prep classes, you know, so we're at a unique disadvantage in rural Alaska here.
All right. Do any of the candidates have any follow-up comments on that question? All right, moving on. Next question. Do you support the Governor's Performance Scholarship Program? If so, what's good about it? If not, what needs to change? And we'll start with Senator Kukesh.
The governor and I had a huge disagreement on this. He invited me to his office one day to talk about it. I walked in the door. He didn't even say, "Hello, Senator Kukesh. Have a chair, Senator Kukesh." He turned to me and said, "What do you have against children receiving scholarships?" "I have nothing against children receiving scholarships," I told him. "I want the opportunity for the children that I represent to have a chance to get that scholarship. $400 million. $400 million. That would have paid for the Head Start program in Alaska and more. And if I was king for the day, I would have taken that $400 million and not put it in that scholarship program. I would have put it in pre-education. Last year, and I told him this would not work in rural Alaska. It will not work. You have teachers out there. Angoon High School, 3 teachers in the whole building for high school. 3 teachers. No foreign language. No upper math. I mean, and Angoon's a more of a modern school than you have in places like Mentasta or Tanana. I asked him, I said, "How are you going to get those classes that you require for the scholarship to those students that I represent?" "We'll do it through technology," he said. "Governor, technology costs money. Who's going to put the money together to have technology in those villages for those students to have calculus and science that you want them to have to qualify for that program?" Not going to happen, people. I saw the numbers last year. I don't know how many people from Haines got it, but $1.2 million went to Anchorage schools for that scholarship. You know how many people in rural Alaska got it? 5. 5. And that's all of rural Alaska. 5. The numbers this year are going to be worse, and they just came out. We have to look at them. We've had a call from ACLU saying they're thinking about filing suit against the state of Alaska for the disproportionate ability for a student to qualify for that scholarship. No, I don't support it. No, I don't support it. And I think you want to talk about a change? Okay, I'll talk about a change. You give that scholarship to those kids in my villages based on what is available to them. It's not their fault they do not have those classes available. It is not their fault. I have a daughter, Jaylene, who went to Stanford. Stanford accepted her based on the classes that were available at Angoon High School. At present time, she's an attorney working for one of the major corporations in Alaska, from Angoon, Alaska. I think the scholarship should be based exactly the same way. Give them the scholarship based on what's available to them in that village.
Representative Thomas.
Thank you. First, you should know that I was the chairman of the House Finance Committee in the conference committee when we had this bill worked out between the Senate and the House version. And when I sat down with the conference committee, with Senator Hoffman was the chairman from the Senate side, we sat down and went through where we had to disagree, and then we worked out the disagreements. And one of the agreements that we had, that I didn't get balled out, but the governor asked, rural waivers. Why did we have rural waivers in there? And I told him, "Well, look at me, Governor. As I'm an Alaska native," and I said, "I come from rural Alaska." And I said, "My staff, the same as Albert's daughter, is an attorney. She graduated from Angoon. She graduated, went through school and high school in Haines. Her father was a teacher up there. She would never have qualified for the performance scholarship because she didn't take the necessary grades, but she's an attorney." And then when we had a bunch of other staffers coming in, and we asked them, would they qualify for the performance scholarship that the governor has there? And they said no. but not unless they had the waivers which were allowed for rural schools. So the students can get it, and I supported it because at least it gives another chance to get more money for the students to stay in Alaska, stay home. We have found out that if you are educated outside the state, chances of you coming back to Alaska to work here are slim. You know, it's sad, but it's true. People, you know, get comfortable down south. They don't want to come home, and there's chances are there's no jobs here for them anyway. So, having sat on the committee, I thought we did as best we could, worked it out, and I support additional funding. It may not be the perfect balance, but the money is there. Hopefully, you know, it'll take time, like everything else, before people get used to having that carrot out there. But I think the counselors in the school districts are going to have to help their students and guide them to which way, where they're going. If they want a college education, here's what you have to do, and they have to start early. You know, so I don't even know where the counselors' room is in this room, but here you go. If you want a scholarship at the end of the year from the state, here's what you have to do. Here's the classes you have to take. Again, if you're going to go to college, you know. So, but anyway, for now, I like it, but then we'll see what happens. You know, if it doesn't seem to be working out, you can always change a thing. So, and it took a while. I was part of the, also just for information, part of the one trying to get the $400 million into that. And that was a lot of work because we also got $400 million for PCE at the same time. So, okay, thanks.
Mr. Chris Tompkins.
I think Senator Kukesh summed up my thoughts pretty well, and that it's a crying shame that such a large-scale new program in Alaska is so out of touch with the realities of rural Alaska, and that there's no French teacher in Kluwak or Klukwan. And to qualify for the highest level of the performance scholarship, you need foreign languages. If you need to take high-level math, that's not always available in small schools either. And it's a real shame that made it through the legislature in its current form. However, the principle of the performance scholarship is great, access to higher education. And increasingly, to be able to succeed, to be able to have opportunity, you need education beyond high school, whether it's vocational education or traditional college or university education. And that's something that I think should be honored and advanced in Alaska. And furthermore, it's a great opportunity to keep talent in state by creating a financial incentive. And I was just in Craig a couple weeks ago, and in Craig I was talking with teachers there, and their last graduating class in Craig, it was sort of a banner year for them, and that more than half the students went to U of A, which was, you know, a huge jump over prior years. And Craig is just, the school is just large enough where a student can meet all the requirements of the performance scholarship and qualify and go to school at UAA or UAF or UAS. And so that's a great example of what this program could be, but needs to be reconsidered to take into consideration schools like Klukwan and Kluwak, Heidelberg, and Goon. And that hasn't happened. And I'm glad to hear that, I mean, even if it's a legal remedy, something might change. And I think it's also important when we're talking about higher education, taking high-performing students and trying to keep them in state and put them in college, I mean, you have to have high-performing students to start with. And so, I mean, it's a little bit putting the cart before the horse, throwing $400 million at higher education while not fully funding the schools that those students come from. And I think it's just a question of priorities. And we need to make sure that schools are fully funded so there are students that can succeed and thrive at university, whether it's Alaska or elsewhere. So the performance scholarship is, in principle, in abstract, a good thing, but I think it could definitely benefit from being reevaluated or reconsidered to make sure that all parts of the state can qualify and are fully represented.
All right. So are there any closing comments from Senator Kukesh?
I just wanted to make a comment about the rural waivers. And for those of you who don't understand how that works, is you get two additional years to meet the requirements under the state guidelines. And even that doesn't make any sense to me. Why would a student stay around two extra years in high school to try to make up and try to get a scholarship? Why would they stay around even Haines, Alaska, to take two more years of schooling to try to qualify for that governor's scholarship? There's a stigma attached to that waiver, and I just don't like it. And I I really think that, and I've said this before, all I want is the students that I represent to have the opportunity to participate in that $400 million education windfall. And if you don't have the opportunity, it doesn't work for me. Just the opportunity is all I'm asking for. Get those students the opportunity to compete with the other schools. It's not going to happen. I just don't see it, and I just can't support it. And I called it an elitist scholarship, and I still think it is.
Okay, are there any closing comments from Representative Thomas? All right. Since we're running up on the edge of our proposed time here, I'll head to this next question. What action will you take to increase the graduation rate in the state of Alaska? And we'll start with Representative Thomas.
I think we'll be looking. I put the parents as teachers in again, and I think we should go back and probably fund pre-K, start them to read and write early. I mean, that's very key, because I was looking at some, I was debating with my staff today. I thought that 70% of the kids that graduate from Alaska go to the university, take remedial classes. That's, and I was wrong, it's 53% to take them. And then 30% of the performance scholarship students take remedial classes at the university. And why do I bring that up? Because we need to make sure that they can read and write by the time they're third, fourth, fifth grade. Start them young, start them early, because when you get into college, according to the president, that if you go into class, let's say the three of us go in there together and I take remedial English or math, it'll take me 5, maybe 6 years to finish college if I go at all. Maybe I'll just quit because I can't keep up with Jonathan or Albert. So I think, putting more money into the scholarship, into this base student allocation, does that help? I think it does. We've watched graduation rate go from 60 to 67% over the several years here. And I've had discussions with school boards, and they said, well, give us more money, we'll increase the graduation rate. And I said, how does that parallel? But somehow, for some reason, it has. It would seem like you give more money in there, people are more energetic because maybe they're getting paid more, but the increased, the graduation rate has increased. But at the same time, they put more money into there. How do we keep that 20% that's dropping out? It's just, they just leave. That's the crime, is the people that are falling out and nobody goes out there to get them or try to bring them back into the school system. So I think increasing the base student allocation, how much we'll see, but I think to sit there and, I think it'll happen, no doubt, because it's due, and we'll see how much, and then we'll see how much the state has. Just want to point out that with the decline in revenue, we're about $1.5 billion less than we'll have than last year, and everything will change. And people say we have a surplus, and do we or do we not? We have a $11 or $12 billion PERS and TERS debt, future debt that we have that's hanging out there over the state right now that we have to address. And that's huge. That's anybody who works for the school system or the state, that's your retirement money hasn't been funded yet, and we have to look out in the future for. So I think you put more money in there might help, but I think we get it at the lower end, get the kids to read and write, and maybe we'll get there.
All right. Mr. Christ-Tompkins?
Raising the graduation rate, I think, is requires a multifaceted solution, and I think Representative Thomas got it right, and that money is a huge part of that equation. I might challenge him that he said more money might help, yet the State House and the State Finance Committee has been a major obstacle in more money making it to schools. So I would agree, but the problem is, in practice, that hasn't happened with our state legislature. I think it's really important to keep in context how much money schools need. I mean, we're talking, if school funding is to keep pace with inflation, merely if expenses are to keep pace with funding, we're talking in the neighborhood of $30 to $40 million. This governor's performance scholarship, I mean, we're just talking about a $400 million figure. The oil company tax cut, that's $2 billion. The amount of money required to keep state employees' wages on pace with inflation, which the state has been funding, yet has not done the same for schools. I mean, we're talking a little bit shy of $100 million. So the quantities of money we're talking about, I mean, to really help schools out, we're not talking about throwing the entire state budget at it. It's really a relatively small amount of money. yet the state legislature has not come through to provide that money, and has not come through to provide that money in a reliable manner that allows school districts to plan to know how many teachers they'll be able to hire in future years. So I think that's really important. Money is important. It allows schools to be able to have the teachers and the programs they need to keep kids in school and graduating. But I think there are also other solutions, and there's a huge opportunity to be entrepreneurial when it comes to education policy in Alaska. And across the country, you have programs like Teach for America that are taking top talent out of our universities and sticking them in schools that are struggling and helping students that are struggling. And I think Alaska is ripe to create relationships, or we could create a program of our own that cultivates top talent in-state to return to schools here, then try to create a connection between the most capable and driven students coming out of our schools to come back to our schools after they graduate from college. In England, there's an academy for school administrators. I mean, it's not just teachers. And right now, administrator training in the United States and in Alaska is apples to oranges. There's no standard, and oftentimes administrators are just thrown in and don't have adequate training. And I mean, Alaska could create an academy for school administrators to help them help teachers. There are all sorts of different avenues I think we should be exploring. And I think being entrepreneurial with education policy is absolutely required. It's not just throwing money at the problem, but that is really important. But making sure that we're using the money in innovative ways. But most importantly, I mean, right now, the state of Alaska in the last few years has been defunding schools, in effect, because inflation has exceeded school funding. And to say that we need to see the graduation rate increase before we fund schools is, I mean, a little bit like saying, I mean, beatings will stop when morale improves. It's just a very, I think, backwards way of approaching education in Alaska and the graduation rate as well.
All right. Senator Kukesh.
There's no question in my mind that education in Alaska requires money. And I'm very supportive of increasing the student base allocation every year to if we can afford it, and I want to do that. And I think that should be a priority. I really think we have to put a little bit of teeth in the truancy laws in Alaska. I know we haven't talked about that, but there's a lot of students who aren't going to school right now, and it's because we don't enforce our truancy laws in Alaska, and I'm a little bit uncomfortable with that. I've always had a problem with that. I like the idea of funding schools separately so that they have more money in the classroom for energy and for technology, for example. I think we have to do everything we can to keep as much money in the classroom as we can. I like, and I mentioned it earlier, I like the exit exam, but only as a measuring tool. I don't like it right now. It's more of a death sentence. And I'd like to keep the exit exam there to do two things. One, to measure teachers, and two, to measure student progress. And I think that makes some sense. To use it the way we're using it now just doesn't make any sense to me, and I don't like that. The performance scholarship. We have a scholarship at the university called the Scholar Scholarship, where the top student from every school in Alaska, or the top 10% of every school in Alaska, gets the scholarship if they go to the University of Alaska in Anchorage or Fairbanks or Juneau or Sitka or Ketchikan, wherever there's university at. I think the performance scholarship can be changed where it becomes an incentive like that one does. But even that one is a little bit of a problem because the top 10% get it. And you look at East High School, and if they have a graduating class of 1,200 students, 120 students get that scholarship. And you look at rural Alaska, and they only give one to every high school in rural Alaska. So you have 120 students in rural Alaska that will get it, whereas one high school in rural Alaska gets 120 by themselves. So there's a lot of unbalance in the system, and I'm uncomfortable with that. We have to look at it, and we have to look at it with eyes that try to make everything a little bit more equal in the state in terms of funding, in terms of what's available for students. And not to be disrespectful to anybody in urban Alaska, but you should look at the money that students that we spend on student busing in Alaska. And that's only available to those schools that have busing. And the 129 schools that I represent last session from the Senate, less than 10% of my schools had busing. And you look at Mount Edgecombe High School. We all know it's $5,500 per student in every one of our schools, but in Mount Edgecombe it's $1,600 per student to educate them at Mount Edgecombe High School. There's a lot of imbalances in this state, and we have to look at them. I hope we do it with a mind to making everything better rather than to hold anybody else back.
All right. Before we move on to the final closing comments, do any of the candidates have follow-up comments regarding the graduation rate question? Representative Thomas? Mr. Chris Tompkins? All right. Then we will move on. This is your... Each candidate will have 1 minute of closing statements. And we will begin with Mr. Chris Tompkins.
I think for the state of Alaska to address education policy in a meaningful way, to advance education in our state, teachers and districts need to feel respected and that their work is respected and the importance of their work is respected. And right now, I don't think that's the case in Alaska. I think they feel disrespected every year. They're yanked around on sort of the morale is on a yo-yo depending on what the legislature is doing with funding. Districts aren't able to plan budgets. And I think to make meaningful change, there needs to be reliability. They need to be able to plan for the future and feel as though the work that they're doing, that they're going to have a partner in the legislature. And I don't think that's happening right now. And I think there's this sort of sense of alienation and isolation. And I've talked with teachers from around the district, school board members from around the district, administrators from around the district. And I think that's got to change. I think the state of Alaska needs to put forth a progressive, affirmative vision for education, entrepreneurial with new programs. And I think we need to respect education in Alaska and respect districts and teachers and students and parents. And I'd like to be part of the solution.
Senator Kukesh.
Thank you. There's no question in my mind that I believe education is a priority for myself and for many people in Alaska. And I respect the institution of education and I respect the teachers that teach in it. At one point in my life, I thought about being a teacher. I thought, well, geez, I don't think I could do that. I have a wife who's a school teacher, and the first class she ever taught was the seventh grade in Angoon, Alaska. And I asked her, how's your teaching going? And she said to me, I'm teaching kids that are on the verge of trying to decide whether to be priests or murderers. Seventh graders, you know, they know everything. And so education wasn't my area. But I just want to say that I am endorsed by NEA Alaska. And I think I'm endorsed by them. I know I'm endorsed by them because of my stance on education and my support for education and my votes over the years on education funding. And I want to tell you this. The last word I hear every night before I go to bed is that of a teacher. And the first word I hear every morning is that of a teacher.
Representative Thomas.
Thank you. Mind you again, I've graduated from Haynes High. My kids have. We've been through the education process and the system here. I'm just going to point out, being in Sitka and talking to people down there, my uncle taught for 25 years, a graduate from Haynes High in 1952, taught in Sitka 25 years, and I was down there talking to people, and I said, yeah, my uncle Ron Sparks. Now, I'm talking to the chamber, probably about 40 people in the audience, and I said, yeah, my uncle Ron Sparks taught here. Half of them said, Mr. Sparks. You know, and I still call my kids call their teachers Mr. And so, you know, we're talking about no respect. I disagree with Jonathan. We respect the teachers. I do because, you know, I've had great admiration for mine, and I think it's wrong to say we don't respect the teachers. You know, we listen to them. We, you know, being in finance, the co-chair of finance is and in the legislature is a big responsibility. I have lots to balance. I mean, a lot of give, take. Every day somebody's wanting something. You have to, you know, every day you're balancing. I get in there at 7 in the morning and leave there at 9 at night. And people are just talking to you, I want this, I want that. So it's hard to balance, and hopefully, you know, education is a priority. But we need to look at it. Yes, it was flat funded for years, and I think you're getting the money that they have for a while. But I think Albert's right. You got to find a formula that will work and put it to bed. But we're at $2.8 billion, I think, total overall.
All right, well, that's that, folks. That's all the questions I have, and we are only about 10 minutes over our intended time. So I think this went very well. Thank you to all three of the candidates for coming and speaking with us today. It's been very productive.